Welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. I am Carey Crowley. Giants and the Rockies coming up at 1 o'clock here on The Leader, and it's time to bring in our next guest. First time he's appearing on this show, and he is the authority on all things Giants prospects. He covers the Giants for Around the Foghorn. You can read his writing there. Mark DeLucchi. Mark, how's it going today?
Doing well. Glad to be on. Thank you for the introduction, by the way. Appreciate the authority. I'm going to use that later.
Well, I definitely want to pick your brain on some of the Giants' top prospects, their performances this spring, what you've seen so far at the alternate site, Elliot Ramos, Will Wilson. He's a big topic of conversation between Marty and I. But the best place to start this conversation is Friday at the ballpark. In home opener for the Giants, Johnny Cueto goes 8 2/3 innings, 118 pitches. Gabe Kapler let him go. He wanted him to go the distance, didn't quite get there. But were you surprised that Kapler let him go as far as he did, Mark?
I wasn't actually as surprised as I might have been with one of the other starters, because one thing I think we've seen from Kapler, you know, all of last season and into this year, is that the one starter he's been willing to let, you know, push their pitch count. And I think most, you know, from what we've seen, I think arguably to a fault has been Cueto. I think one of the reasons why, you know, I was higher on Cueto this season than, you know, you looked at, and I'm a stats guy. I'll dive into kind of the more advanced numbers. And even though those numbers weren't necessarily that positive from Cueto last season, it just felt like almost, you know, Kapler had kind of just the perfect wrong touch last season with Cueto, where it almost felt like he was leaving him in one inning too long, and you were just seeing it kind of build up and build up over the course of the year. And so if there was one pitcher I was going to guess Kapler, you know, would let bat with runners on second and third and one out and just a 2-run lead, I think it would have been Cueto. It, you know, it was something that, you know, watching from my point of view, where, you know, I'm openly, you know, agree with moves or whatnot, I probably would have lent towards, you know, giving LaStella a chance to pinch hit. You know, that's an easy opportunity, I think, to get, you know, at least another run or two. And then obviously when Cueto gives up the triple, right, to start the inning, you know, Kapler still doesn't give him the hook at that point either. So that was, to me, if it was going to be someone, it was going to be Cueto, but it still was, you know, it felt different, right, than what we've seen from Kapler with the pitchers so in, you know, the past year or so.
And I do wonder how the Giants' struggles in the seventh and eighth innings and getting the ball to Jake McGee, if that played a role in the decision. And that's another topic I wanted to ask you about, is the Giants' setup situation. Tyler Rogers seems like someone who Gabe Kapler really trusts in that role. But outside of Rogers, the Giants' bullpen is kind of up in the air. And you've had some interesting thoughts this week on Twitter about Kapler and his willingness to use pitchers back-to-back. And, you know, the analytics crowd thinks that using pitchers back-to-back, especially relievers on a second day, you're going to get a worse performance. And so it surprised you to see, you know, Rogers, Whistler, Peralta on back-to-backs. Why is that something that Giants manager Gabe Kapler and Giants fans should watch this season?
Well, I'd say this, though. One thing to clarify that is the analytics community really doesn't know what to make of back-to-back days. There's actually been a number of investigations and you know, deep kind of data dives, and they found there actually isn't necessarily the gap that, you know, the traditionalist might expect from what we hear about, you know, using pitchers on back-to-back days and just, you know, thinking about, right, you know, the wear and tear of pitching in the big leagues on any pitcher, especially if you're asking them in high-stress situations, you know, on back-to-back days. But that's one of the reasons I think Kapler is so aggressive, is because most people who've looked at the data haven't found a significant, you know, decrease in performance. And in fact, sinker ballers, there's been evidence that they actually get more movement on their sinker. And I think that's why Tyler Rogers has been someone we've seen him do it a lot with. It's just, I'm someone who I have some – I don't need to get into the weeds of the math here. I think there's some different methods you can look at when you're evaluating those differences. And so I lean towards, I think there is a bigger gap than people realize. But also just what we've seen from Giants relievers themselves. Last season, the Giants relievers pitched on back-to-back days 51 times in a 60-game season. That was by far the most in baseball. And on back-to-back days, those relievers finished with a 6.43 ERA. In all other appearances, the bullpen's ERA was 3.77. So, you know, right there you're looking at, obviously you have the small sample size of a 60-game season. You know, there's some peripheral, you know, it seemed like when you look at the strikeouts and walks, the gap was probably smaller. But, you know, you look at some of the Giants relievers, you know, you and I are both high on Wandy Peralta, but he's someone who throughout his career has performed worse on back-to-back days than not. And, you know, we saw him lock down a game earlier this week or earlier last week on a back-to-back, and he looked strong in it. But throughout his career, that's been something he's struggled with. And yet we've seen Kapler time and time again go to these back-to-backs. It's just something that I am not as keen on.
Wow, great stat there, especially 51 times in 60 games last season, most in the majors, in terms of the Giants using back-to-back relievers. And Mark DeLucchi joining us here on Talkin' Baseball. You can follow him on Twitter at Mad DeLucchi, M-A-D-D-E-L-U-C-C-H-I. He writes about Giants prospects for Around the Foghorn. And the Giants prospect who caught everyone's attention this spring, Mark, was Elliot Ramos. And what he did down in Scottsdale, you know, that had Giants fans buzzing. What is the next step for Ramos? When might we see him in the major leagues? I know you follow progressions really closely. You follow the number of at-bats that a minor leaguer typically needs before he can have major league success. What is a realistic plan and path for Ramos to reach the Giants this year?
Well, I mean, after what he showed, you know, after his productivity in spring training, I think it's going to come down to, I think, you know, he played at Double A in 2019. He obviously, you know, did so well at spring training. I don't think it's a question. I think he's probably going to start at Triple A. At least I'd be surprised if it's not a Triple A assignment. And, you know, once a player, a prospect of Ramos's caliber is at Triple A, it just comes down to performance, right? If he could be up a month into the minor league season if he hits that month like he is in spring training, right? Like he did in spring training. The more realistic, I think, expectations, right? If he just is, you know, really good, if he's, you know, keeping his prospect status, but maybe not, you know, demolishing the ball like we saw throughout the spring, then I think it's probably more reasonable to expect to see him towards August, September of this season as the Giants look to 2022 and try to figure out, is he someone they can slot into the opening day lineup? Is he someone who's more of a platoon bat, you know, next season? Like what role they're going to carve out for him, I think, is going to come into play in how they handle the roster towards the end of the season. And obviously injuries could change this in a heartbeat, right? Like Austin Slater's role on the roster right now is one that Elliot Ramos's skill set seems tailor-made for, right? Ramos has shown some platoon splits throughout his career. You know, I most expect him to be an everyday player, but, you know, Slater primarily against lefties, but playing every day because he can handle center field as well. Ramos is someone who, you know, I think most say can handle center field better than Slater. I think coming into the year, that would have been the expectation. But obviously is effective enough to be a good corner outfielder. So if Slater gets hurt, which, you know, he has that long history, I think we could see Ramos in San Francisco much quicker than some might expect.
So everyone knew about what Ramos accomplished this spring. You turned on Twitter, you turned on Instagram, and all you saw was Elliot Ramos mashing baseballs. I want to ask you about a Giants prospect who almost no one knows about, and you wrote about him this week for Around the Foghorn, and that's Joey Marciano, a left-handed relief pitcher, and you've got a great story out on him. What I will say in prefacing this is no one knows about Marciano, 36th-round draft pick a few years ago, but based on your story, it seems like there could be a path for him to one day reach the big leagues. What can you tell us about Marciano, his journey in and out of baseball, and what you expect from him?
Well, you know, I think the easiest comparison to make is someone who got Giants fans excited in big league spring training with Sam Long, right? The prospect who obviously steps away from the game for a time after he's released by Tampa Bay, comes back, he has, you know, newfound velocity, already had decent command for, you know, a starter and this feel for a breaking ball. Marciano isn't too dissimilar from that. He actually stepped away from the game in 2019. He had to go home and help his family out. And in the spring of last year, his family was in a more comfortable situation. He decided to try and make a comeback. He reached out to the Giants. They welcomed him back with open arms. And obviously, just as he's sort of getting things started, COVID-19 hits, he loses, you know, a minor league season. And so he has to figure out some new creative ways to make up for, you know, developmental time. You know, he obviously, everyone lost the minor league season, but he is someone who had stepped away from pro ball in the summer of the season before, so he had even more time to make up for. He's actually good friends with former Giants prospect DJ Snelton. They're both from Illinois, Marciano from the inner city of Chicago. And Snelton suggested these pull-down throws, these medicine ball throws that had helped him pick up some velocity. And Marciano, a guy, low 90s, 90, 92, feel for this 12-6 curveball, you know, kind of your classic crafty lefty profile. But then he starts working on those, and within a few months, his fastball begins touching 97, 98 miles per hour, sitting around 95. And, you know, he also works on sort of refining the breaking ball a bit to be kind of that more sharper pitch that we've seen at the big league level, the Giants have targeted. And so now he's coming back to minor league spring training. He's started before. He's relieved before. He's obviously open to whatever the Giants think is the best path for him. But he's someone who, like Sam Long, I think, took the big league camp by storm. That if you're looking for someone who, you know, like you mentioned, no one's really been thinking about for some time, who could make waves quite quickly in the minor leagues, I think it's Marciano.
Wow, great stuff from Mark DeLucchi. You can read him all season long at Around the Foghorn. And Mark, we hope to have you on in the future talking Giants prospects and Giants baseball.
Thanks for having me.